Go and grab your Bibles. Open to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. We'll begin reading in verse number 5. Hebrews chapter number 13, beginning in verse number 5. The Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever." Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this evening. Father, allow us to seek you, not to seek what we understand or what we think, but to seek you and to seek your face and to seek your comfort and your guidance. Father, let everything be done, as it says in Colossians 1:18, to the preeminence of Christ. Help us to have that mindset, as it says in 1 Thessalonians, to walk worthy of God. Help us, Father, to follow in your footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. You may be seated. I want us to, obviously, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. This evening, I want to spend a lot of time going through different passages in the scriptures, and we're going to be going a lot of different places of learning some things that God wants us to know. Okay, the Bible was given for an entirety of the Christian to help complete the Christian so they could grow and be what they ought to be. Once again, Jesus Christ came to be the sacrifice, but he also lived a perfect life to be an example. Same thing with the Bible. The Gospels are there and the Bible is there so the lost can get saved, but it's also there so for the saved to learn and to grow, for the saved to get to spiritual maturity. And there are many things in the Bible that we are to learn and we are to grow from. So if you'd follow me as we go along in the Bible this evening, we're going to jump to a lot of different places all over the place, and I want us to see some things from the scripture this evening. Let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm chapter number 34, or Psalm 34, we'll begin reading in verse number 17. Psalm 34 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." That means crushed. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." You see, God gives us many promises all throughout the scripture woven in. We've looked at it when we looked at the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 1. We started with sound doctrine. And the more you learn about the doctrine that the Bible teaches and the doctrine that God wants us to understand, the more you understand it's all about the love of God. You learn more about it. You learn more about what God's trying to teach and what the Bible is trying to teach. You learn it's all truly encapsulated around the singular fact that God loves you, that God loves me. You see, everything about our life, everything about us is that the fact that God loves us. The very fact that we're alive is a testament that God loves us. The very fact that he made us, he made Adam and Eve, he gave them the Garden of Eden. And even when they fell and decided to do wrong, God still says, "I love you so much that I'll give my perfect son on your behalf." because I desire to have a relationship with you that much. You see, when God made man, he didn't want a robot. He didn't want someone just to do everything he says and to have no choice in the matter. He gave us the choice. He gave us the ability to say no. As foolish as that is for us to do that, he gave us that ability. Because he desires for us to love him in return. And all throughout the scriptures, we see God's love and God's promises interwoven in all the pages, in every story, in every account. It's all over the place. I think of Hezekiah, when King Sennacherib's army encamped about. He's sitting in the throne room, and he has the message that the army is surrounded. There is no hope. Give up now, or you're going to be like every other city we've conquered. And the Assyrians were a bad lot. They would torture people for fun. Skin them, you name it, they would do it. And they would do it all just to show as a trophy to the next city, is this what you want to happen to you? And that's what Hezekiah faced. Certain death and certain defeat. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Faced with certain death and certain defeat, Hezekiah has an amazing response to the trouble that he faced. Second Chronicles chapter number 32, beginning in verse number 1. Let's give a little bit of background. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountain which are without the city. And they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken down and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying. Notice his words that he says to these men that he's gathered up with King Sennacherib, undefeated in the battlefield, comes a knocking. These are Hezekiah's words. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You see, the most amazing thing about that is if you look in Isaiah and you see the full accounting of this biblical historical account, you see that there is a back and forth between one of Sennacherib's men, Rabshakeh, and he comes in and he comes in purposefully to speak the Hebrew language and yell as loud as he can that basically you're all going to die if your king doesn't give up. And he did that on purpose, to try and put fear into the men of Israel and to those that were following and staying true to King Hezekiah and to the Lord. And King Hezekiah goes to the Lord and God goes to the man of God and they do what's right and they decide to stand. And then King Sennacherib hears about it. And King Sennacherib sends Hezekiah a personal letter saying, you're dead. I know where you are. Just as soon as I get done, I'm coming to you. And he went once again. That's where we get the biblical account where Hezekiah took the letter and he laid it out before the Lord and he prayed. He says, I can't do anything about this. And God told Isaiah, he says, oh, and say, tell Hezekiah, don't worry about it. I've got it all under control. But understand, Hezekiah said these things before he heard anything from God. This was not Hezekiah's message to the people after he heard what Isaiah had to say, that don't worry, Hezekiah, I've got it all under control. This was Hezekiah when he's faced with reality and he has not heard the word of the Lord. Isaiah has not come and told him, don't worry, Hezekiah, God's coming. This is Hezekiah's reaction. This is Hezekiah's choice words that he gives to his people before hearing what the man of God had to say. You see, he made a decision that I don't need to hear what the man of God has to say. I know who God is and I choose to trust him. You see, that was Hezekiah's choice. See, do not forget the God that we serve. Let's look at Isaiah chapter number 43. You see, the God we serve is the God that is a just God, is a righteous God, but the Bible also tells us that God is love. Isaiah 43, once again, this is to the wicked nation that has rebelled and gone away, and they're destitute, and they've been destroyed, and these are the words that God has given to them. They have got what they deserved. What God had told them, you do this, this is what will happen. You depart from me, you go whoring after other gods, this is what's going to happen. And it happened with every right. But then God also says this to them. Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You see, that's the reality of the God that we serve, is how great and powerful he is. He says, I know your name, and I call you by name. You see, that's the reality of God. He says, I know your name, and I call you by your name. And he says, oh, and you're mine. I have redeemed you. I am the one that bought you. I am the one that put forth the price. Verse number 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. You see, have you forgotten about the goodness of the Lord? Have you forsaken his loving thoughts that he has towards you? That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says he has good thoughts to us, to usward. He loves us. He says, fear not, I am with thee. And once again, remember, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change. He's always been the same. Remember, no matter what we face, God's still on the throne. And as long as he allows us, we serve him. We serve, and we go on serving him. He is the master of our fates, not anything else. He is the one that determines. So we go on. Joshua chapter 13, verse number 1. Joshua chapter 13 and verse number 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. What God is telling Joshua, he says, Joshua, you may be old, you may be getting close to the end of your life, but I've still got a job for you. You may not know what you can do, but Joshua, I've got a job for you, and there remaineth land yet to be possessed. There's stuff in front of you, Joshua, that I want you to do, and I'm going to use you. You see, church family, if God is not done with us, then he has a message. There remaineth yet much land to be possessed. He has not, his promise has not changed. The Great Commission has not changed. We still go forward for God. We are not done until God says, it's done. You see, until that time, until God says, I'm done, we press forward. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, what is most important to you? Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see, Paul is saying, I've lost everything, and I don't care. I'm happy I lost it. I count it all a bunch of pile of garbage because I get to win Christ. Because I get the excellency just of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul says, this is what's most important to me. My Savior is what's important to me. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Paul is admonishing. Colossians 1:18, and he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning from the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You see, Paul made no qualms about who was the leader of his life and who was number one. Oh, Jesus Christ is first in all things. I press toward the mark. I count all but loss. I don't care. You can take it all, but I'll have Christ. You can have everything, but I will have Christ. He was unafraid to put Christ in his proper place of authority in his life. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Second Corinthians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 5, the Bible says, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul's saying, there's hard times, yes. But keep your eye on the prize. Remember what we are doing. It's for the excellency of Christ. It's for the excellency of the power of God that flows through us. He said it's the light that shines, that shows into our hearts, that we get to take to the lost and dying world, that we get to possess in these earthen vessels. That's the priority that we ought to have. Psalm 56. Hard times, absolutely. But God is still God. Amen. And his promises are always true. Amen. Troubled, absolutely. Perplexed, oh yeah. Persecuted, yep. But God's still God. Psalm 56 in verse number 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Think about that. God keeping your tears. Verse number 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Do you believe that? Once again, it's great things to read. Makes you feel good, but do you actually believe it? See, when the rubber meets the road, when reality hits and the world comes in, do you actually believe the promises of God that he says, I am for you? Do you believe it? Or is it just something nice to read before you go to sleep? Or is it something real to you that you know God is for me? So who can be against me? Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. How real is God to you? See, that's the question. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 35, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, he started off, who shall separate us? And he goes and lists and lists and lists, and he goes on a longer list to say, nothing can. Oh, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. You see, he said, Golgotha is not too hard for me to do it for you. All the sufferings that I had to go through, it was not too much for me to do it for you. You see, my love goes beyond all. You see, God's love is not our reality. God's love is beyond our reality. It's something that we cannot comprehend, but it's real. You see, just because you can't comprehend something doesn't mean it's not real. Because guess what? You're never going to comprehend God. 1 Kings chapter number 8. This is Solomon speaking when he's pretty much just taking the throne. The great King David is dead, and Solomon has finally been able to establish his throne from family that tried to take it and all the problems that came about from it. 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse number 57. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. And get this, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our Father. See, church family, let's go forward. Amen. You see, let's go forward, not just to go forward, but as Solomon said, let's go forward to do what God wants us to do. Let's go forward so we can incline our hearts to him, so we can follow his commandments, so we can follow his judgments, so we can be an honor and a blessing to our God. Not just to go forward so we can go forward, so we can move on, but we can go forward in what God wants us to do. You see, that's the attitude that needs to happen in the Christian. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Do you have the strength and good courage? You see, because you can have true strength and good courage when I know anywhere I go, God is with me. You see, God was trying to teach Joshua, you just do what I want you to do and have confidence in me. And everywhere you go, I'll be right beside you. Every step of the way. And let's go back to Hebrews 13. We'll read it one more time. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same, always the same, yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you'll